Hey, thanks again for joining us. My name is Nicole. I'm one of the leaders here. And I want to start off by just greeting you on behalf of Pastor Kyle and Bethany. They're on a well-deserved vacation with their family, so they wanted me to send their love and let you know that they're excited to see you again next week. And we are so blessed to have just incredible pastors who truly love God and truly love people. Let's give them a hand. And today begins our second week of our 21 days of prayer. So hopefully you've been participating with us. And if you haven't, no big deal. We have a couple more weeks. We just want to invite you just to join along with us. And all we're asking is that you spend a little bit of time in prayer with God every day. And we have some resources for you. We have a little wristbands that help to remind you to be praying. And we also have some booklets that just help you in your journey as you're praying to God. So we'd love to have you join along with us. But this morning we're going to talk about worship as we did last week. And so often we don't really have the right understanding of worship and what it is. Worship is so much more than what we just experienced. Now that is awesome. It's incredible. But there's so much more to it than just that. And last week we left you with the thought that we're all worshiping something. So Pastor David did an amazing job, and I listened to it a couple times on the beach because I was on vacation last week. And so thank God for the podcast. There is nothing like coming to church and connecting with your friends, but that podcast really helps you in these emergencies like, you know, beach vacations and things like that. So I'm grateful for that. So if you did miss that, go ahead and check that out. That was a fabulous message. And just a recap, you see, even if you're not a Christian today, you are already worshiping something. Because worship is when you express your love towards something. So all of us have things that we really love and that get our attention and that get our time and that get our money and that get everything that we are, because worship is simply what we value the most. So everybody is already a worshiper because it's just part of who we are. So this is going to be the second message today and the last of the more theological side of this series. This message today is very theologically deep, so it's very heavy in that. So if you really like teachy, kind of history, cool, lot of depth, then you're going to love this. And if you think, well, that's not really my thing, then that's okay, because next week Pastor Kyle is going to be coming and bringing in some of the more practical, kind of live it out part of the message. So we're going to go ahead and just dive straight into the deep end of the pool this morning. And I'm going to answer a question right off the bat that is, who was the first worshiper? And that's actually very important. And the reason that is because the purest teaching of something is found when you go back to when it was first mentioned in the Bible. Actually, theologians call it the law of first mention. So there are three named angels in the Bible. Now, this is not in your notes, but just track along with me because it's actually an important part of the message. It's going to kind of build as a foundation for the message this morning. And the first one is Michael, and Michael is always responding to people's prayers. So when we pray, the Bible says there's activity in the heavenlies. And so, in fact, there's one time where Daniel was praying, and Michael came and said, I was responding to you in prayer, and I got caught up in a war in the heavenlies when I was responding to your prayer. So when you pray, there's activity happening in the heavenlies, and Michael's leading that charge. So I don't know if that inspires you or freaks you out, but it's the truth. So when you pray, there's some stuff that's happening. And then the next angel is an angel named Gabriel. And you may recognize Gabriel just from the Christmas story. He is the one that came to the Virgin Mary and said, hey, I know you haven't been with a man, but you're going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a God thing. It's going to be a good thing. So Gabriel always brings a message or the word. And then the third is an archangel by the name of Lucifer. And Lucifer was created for worship. And what's interesting is that heaven, all of heaven, is represented by these three things: the prayer, the word, and worship. So every church service should have prayer, the word, and worship, and free Starbucks. Yeah. So your personal time should also have prayer, the word, and worship. And so let me say it like this. If you're new to the things of God and you're new to seeking God, all it takes to spend some time with God is, I would recommend, 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in the Word or the Bible, and 5 minutes in worship, and you'll have a great time, and that's all it takes. It's very, very easy. God makes it very easy for us. But today we're going to focus in on that angel, that last angel named Lucifer, which is also what we know as Satan. And it's found in two places in the Old Testament, which is Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And I'm going to pull out some details, so just kind of hang with me. There's a lot of details, and it's very thick. But it's all going to make sense, and it's all going to come together in the end. So don't kind of give the glaze over. And I have an 8-year-old who, if you give him too much information at once, he gets, and you can see you're kind of losing him. So let's not do that. This is a really exciting message, and I think you'll really love it. So Isaiah 14 is directed to the king of Babylon. So you may immediately think, I thought you said you were going to talk about Lucifer, but it's talking to the king of Babylon in this scripture. But often the scripture in the Bible will direct something towards a person, but refer to the spirit that's behind that thing. So let me give you an example. Jesus one time was talking to his disciples, and you know, he looked right at Peter and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Well, he wasn't talking to Satan, he was talking to Peter, but what he was doing was he was really speaking to the spirit behind what Peter was doing at the time. And that's what's happening here in this scripture. So your Bible's going to say the king of Babylon, but you're going to see very quickly it's not about the king of Babylon, it's about Lucifer. You'll see. So Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations." So Satan was once an angel in heaven that got expelled. Well, why did he get expelled? Let's read on. "So you, Lucifer, said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly. On the most heights of Mount Zaphon, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like," and look what he called God here, "like the Most High." So in his heart, Lucifer just resented the fact that no one was higher than God. And he didn't like that. And so one day, he just decided, you know what? I'm going to be above you, God. And I'm going to try to take you down. So you know what? That is still Satan's goal today. He still wants to be above God. He still wants every attention that is meant for God to be moved away from God, because if he can do that, then he gets the glory. So he will direct all that attention off of God by using distractions in our life, whether that's family problems, whether that's stress and anxiety or money or, you know, marriage issues or anything like that. If he can do that, then he actually gets the worship because he accomplished it. And that's why we have to be very, very careful what we worship and what we're spending our time thinking about and what we're thinking about and directing our love and attention towards. So I told you, it's going to be a little heavy. So everybody, wax on, wax off. So it's good stuff. So anytime we can redirect attention from the only one that's worthy, and that's God, then we inadvertently help Satan accomplish that goal. So you can even see it when Satan is tempting Jesus. So Satan one time looked at Jesus and he said, "Fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all of this earth below." And he said, "I'll give you all the earth, but you've got to worship me." And that is always his goal. That was his goal when he came to Jesus and presented himself before Jesus, and that is his goal when he presents himself and things in front of us. So that's always his goal. So Isaiah 14:11 says of Lucifer, "Your pomp is brought down to Sheol in the sound of your stringed instruments." So in other words, Satan, you're going down. You're going to be brought down. But then it also says, "and your stringed instruments." So that like begs the question, does Satan just carry around a harp and he's like, "Hi, I'm Satan. This is my favorite harp." No, he doesn't. That's not what it's saying. What it's actually saying, and we'll find out more about this, is that Lucifer is a stringed instrument. Part of his being was a stringed instrument. So don't forget that. We'll come back to that. And so we heard in the first place where Lucifer was saying, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I'll be above God." And the second place this angel's taught in the scripture is Ezekiel 28. And that says in verse 12, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you." God adorned Lucifer with every precious stone: carnelian, crystallite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. Now, the King James version of that scripture says the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. And so picture this: Lucifer was made with jewels all over him, completely beautiful, every type of jewel. Part of his being was a stringed instrument, but then also part of his being was also made with timbrels, which is cymbals, and pipes. So something you may not know about me is that I have played a few different instruments in my life. I actually, in school, I was first chair alto saxophone. See, I'm really good at it. And then I also played the drums in jazz band, so I got the... And I tinkered a little bit with guitar, and something that's very interesting and consistent about all of these instruments, you don't want to hear me play them today, because it is not good. We depend on Pastor Cody and the band, because that is not my thing. But maybe you don't know a lot about music, but all musical instruments fall into one of three categories: stuff you pluck, which is your stringed instruments; stuff you hit or beat, which is percussion; or stuff you blow, like wind instruments, like the saxophone. And so actually, symphony orchestras are broken down into those three sections. But Lucifer himself possessed all of these three things in his very being, because he was created solely for worship. He was the worship leader in heaven. So on top of all of that beautiful instrumentation, he was made to be so beautiful on the outside. And I just think about how, if we just take just a moment and just think about how beautiful he must have been, and just how when the light hit him, he radiated, and when air blowed through him, he made beautiful sound just naturally. But the thing is, that's what shows us the importance of our gifts, because we always need to remember that our gifts from God are a beautiful thing, but if they get turned away from the glory of God, then they become ugly and vile and disgusting and pointless, because our gifts are made to worship him. So that's one of the reasons we have our growth track. We really want people to discover what their gifts are, because each and every one of you have a gift inside of you, and even if you don't know it, you're using that gift in some way. And so we want to help you discover what those gifts are and help you to find an outlet where you can use those to worship God. So that's one of the reasons we're passionate about Growth Track around here. If you haven't been through our Growth Track, it starts back up in a couple weeks in September. I highly recommend doing that. And that way we can help you to discover what those gifts are. But our scripture says you were anointed. So in other words, when he did it, stuff happened. It didn't just sound nice. It wasn't just pleasant to the ear. But to be anointed is that when he would play music, things would have to happen. Things would change. Things would shift. And I'm telling you, music is so powerful. He was a guardian cherub, "For so I ordained you. You were on the mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created until wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade..." Now I'm going to stop there on trade and say that's a really important word, because Satan tried to take what was God's and turn it around and make it his. And so we have to be very careful, because he will try to trick us into doing the exact same thing in our lives each and every day. So, you know, it's so easy to just come in here on Sunday and do our Christian duty. It's Sunday, it's the Sabbath, we're going to come in here and we're going to worship, and we're going to call each other brother, and we're going to fist bump each other and high five each other, and then we have all the rest of the hours of the week that we don't give our attention to God. And that's a very easy thing to do, and that's exactly what happened with Satan. Is he made it about him, and he wants to make that in your life about you as well. So through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before kings. Made a spectacle of him. He just said, you know what? You're not going to come and try to get above me and get away with it. So what's funny is Jesus references this in the Bible. He said in Luke 10:18, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So like Jesus was there. It was this thing, and you know, it was an important thing in history. But I think when we think of Satan getting expelled from heaven, we automatically think of this big battle, and I think we just have it all wrong. So many times we give Satan so much credit. We give him so much credit when God is worthy. God is higher than Satan. Satan wants to come up to God's level, and he will never get up to God's level. He is not even close. He will never take that place. And so, you know, even though he tries, it's his power is so minimal in comparison to God. So I think this is what we picture. Do you have any Star Wars fans in here? All right, yes. All right, I'm a Star Wars fan, so today the part of Darth Vader is going to be played by Satan, and the part of Luke Skywalker is going to be played by God, and you have to remember, Luke Skywalker has kind of like a whiny, like, I'm a kid, I'm supposed to be powerful, but I'm so whiny. So we picture, like, Darth Vader comes in, and he says, I will be like the Most High God. And so Luke Skywalker, or God, we picture is like, no, no, you can't. Don't do that. You don't do that. Don't do that. And so he says, I am the Father. Get it? Because God is the Father and he wants to be like God. Come on, that was good. That was good. No, check it out. What really happened? If this is a movie, this is what happened. God says, and he's gone. And God's like, I didn't get my lightsaber all the way out yet. He's expelled from heaven already. There was no battle. Boom. He's gone. So if God had a movie about this, it'd be 5 minutes long. A millisecond would be this battle. And the rest of the time would be the credits. Creator, God. Director, God. Director of finance, God. He is everything. It's all about him. And we have to remember that he is the one that we are meant to worship. So God is everything. Everything. Everything is about him, and everything was made for him. So look at your neighbor and say, God is everything. Now look at your second choice and say, God is everything. You want to hear something really cool? So Lucifer's expelled from heaven, okay? And then at this point, there's a position that needs to be filled, okay? Because God still wants those same three things, prayer, the word, and worship. But there was a hole, there was a gap that needed to be filled with worship. So the Bible says he made another angel. No, he didn't do that. It would be so easy for him to just say, you know what? Lucifer screwed up. Let's make another angel. That's not what he did. You know what he did? He made you and me. So your checkpoint says, who is the new worship leader? And that's you. And that's me. And listen, everything he did when he created Lucifer, he put in you so that you could be the worshiper. That's why people today are, there's people out there and they are so anointed for this. We call them stars and they live in Hollywood. And we just marvel at their ability to draw a crowd. Why do you think that is? It's not because their music sounds good. It's because it's in us, each and every one of us. And so, you know, it's been placed in us for worship. And so we have to make sure that that gets redirected to the one that is worthy of that. So a very cool fact is he even created you and I with those same three types of instruments. So the first one is our vocal cords. That's our stringed instruments. So right here, you have a set of strings or chords that open and contract and tighten and loosen. And when air goes through, that's how we make our voice. That's our vocal cord. And so I have this incredible friend. Her name's Rachel. She's sitting right up here to support me today. And we met this year, and you never have somebody that you just gets you and you just get, and it's just natural. That's what happened with Rachel and I. And so we do this weird thing. Now, I'm going to warn you, it's really weird. So brace yourself. We do this strange thing. I don't know why. We do this. And we'll sit next to each other at different tones. And we'll do it for like 2 minutes without taking a breath. It's like one of these, like a contest to see how long that we can do this. It's weird. She's weird. I'm weird. And together we are really weird. You know where I met this girl? Small group. You know what? Small group is a place where you can get deep, find deep relationships with people just as weird as you are. Because I'm not the only weird one. It just comes out in a different way. So small groups are important because you get great relationships. So that's your vocal cords. Then you have your lungs, and that's your wind instruments, okay, where you can just breathe and sing and pour out worship and declare the goodness of God. And then your hands, Pastor always says, put them puppies together, right? That's our percussion. We got cymbals and drums right here. So we were made with these three things in us. So how does this affect our lives? There are three things I want you to take away with you when you go today. And number one is God made me from him. If you study the creation account, you guys, this is so cool. I love this. In the book of Genesis, you'll see that there are created things and there are made things. And what's the difference? So a created thing comes from nothing. So like, let there be light. Bazinga. There was light. Okay, so would you just look at that? Just look at it. There's just light. It came out of nowhere. And that is a created thing. Now, a made thing is that he took something that already existed and he made something else from it. So it would be like giving you a pile of clay and saying, hey, make a vase. And you don't make a vase out of thin air, out of nothing. You don't create it. You make it from clay. And so so you make that from clay. So in the creation account, you have created things and made things. Genesis 1:11 says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land. He didn't say, let there be trees. He said, earth, create some trees. And why is that important? Because everything that was made, get this, was because he wanted there to be a relationship to that which it was made from. So when he made something from something, he wanted the two to be close. So he said, earth, create a tree. Now tree, you're created from the dirt. You'll get sustained from the dirt. And you'll return to the dirt one day. And you better stay close to the dirt, because if you, anytime a tree decides to not be close to the dirt, it dies. So catch this. When God made woman, he didn't just say, let there be woman. And Adam's like, whoa, man. No. The Bible says he took a rib from Adam, and Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, because he wanted there to be a relationship between the two, okay? So here's the question. It's a little bit of a trick question. Was mankind created or were they made? They were made. Verse 26 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image. So he said, let me take a part of who we are, and put it in mankind, and then let mankind be made out of our own image. So every one of us was made from God, and that's important because we came from God, we're sustained by God, and one day we will return to God. So I know some of you who know the Bible, or some of you thinkers are saying, now the Bible doesn't say that. I've read my Bible lots of times, and I have read myself where it says that we were made from the dust. Our body was made from the dust. So our body is from the dirt. It's sustained by the dirt, and it will return to the dirt one day. But our spirit man is from God. It's sustained by God, and it will return to God one day. And if you step away from that which you were made, your spirit man, you immediately begin to die. Have you ever felt that? Where you were close to God and you were being sustained by God, and then you start to just let things get in the way, and you just feel inside, you can feel the dying of that spirit man. I'll tell you what, 3 years ago, I was so excited to be able to be in full-time ministry here at the church. And I was on staff full-time and was doing a lot of things for God. And I got to the point where I just wanted to give everything to God. So I gave all my time to the things of God. I was doing things to help people, to help the church. I was just doing. And then one day I realized I was dying inside because I got so busy doing that I forgot to just be his daughter. I forgot to be in relationship with him, in close communion with him. And so that was beginning to die in me, even though I was doing the things that looked like what I should be doing. And you guys, it's so easy. It's hard to differentiate the difference between doing for God and being with God. It can happen so easily. And so for me, you know what happened? 3 years ago, there was a small group that Mandy Muncy ran, and there were 6 or 7 of us girls, and I just got honest with myself, and I got honest with other people. And I said, here's where I'm at. I am dead inside, and I'm working for the church. And I'm dying. My relationship with him is dying. And just through being able to talk that out, get some proper perspective and realignment, I realized, you know what? Everything is about God. It's not about what you can do for him. He doesn't care about that. It doesn't matter if you don't ever produce anything for him. He wants you. And that's how that shifted in me. And maybe that story is just, you can connect with that story because you've been there before. And maybe you connect with that story because you might be there now. And that's just a time that we can reflect and say, does God have me, or am I just doing some really great things? And it's imperative because we need to get closer to God. That's why we did this series. We want each and every one of us to get close with God and just get back to that intimate place with him. So he made you from himself, and he wants there to be a relationship between the two of you. So point two is that God made me to be with him. So many people have a formal relationship with God, but not a close and intimate one. And God is not like an in-law where, you know, you don't really like him. You know you don't love him. But you made a commitment to their son, so every week you go and you just show up and you have dinner, you're there for an hour, you're around the whole family, and then you go home, and on your way out, you're like, okay, well, we'll reconnect next week. So that's not what God ever intended. We have to stop looking at God like he is a faceless, emotionless being that we find in an old book somewhere. He wants us. He wants us. He just never intended that for us. And so it's kind of a little scary because on Judgment Day, it says in Matthew 7:21 that many will say in that day, I called you Lord, but will not enter into heaven. All that means is you can call him Lord, but if you don't actually have a relationship with him, if you don't talk to him, if you don't connect with him, then, you know, he doesn't know you at all. You know, your attendance is great. He appreciates that. But that's not what he wants. Your money, your tithe, that's awesome. It's a biblical thing. But that's not what he wants. He wants you. And so let's get ready for the most extreme example of this. And that's in Ephesians 5. It's talking about having a great marriage. And verse 31, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. You see that love relationship over there? they just got said their vows. They're ready to go off on their honeymoon. They're ready to spend the rest of their life together and commune with one another and connect with one another and be with one another every day and be intimate with one another. That's what I want. I'm looking for that, God says. He wants you. Listen, when all this is said and done, we're going to go to heaven. And let's not be mistaken. You're probably not going to be in the choir. You may not bow down and worship for 20,000 years without ever looking your head, lifting your head up, okay? Because he wants you. He wants to be with you. You are his bride, and he wants to just connect with you. He has an angel right now, as we're speaking, in heaven, that is constantly, never stops, saying, holy, 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 holy. And God's probably, you know, holy, holy. He wants to connect with us. So this is what's going to happen. We're going to get there, and we're going to get to be with Jesus, like Jesus. This isn't a fairy tale. Sometimes I have to remind myself, we will actually get to be with our love. We'll get to be with Jesus, and he's going to call you his bride, and you're going to be wed with him, and then there's going to be a reception called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And there's going to be a big old party, like the party of eternity. And they're going to have those little meatballs with the sticks in there. And we're like, yeah, this is all right. So it's going to be fabulous. We're going to have joy, and we're going to be whole, and we're going to be healed, and we're going to be with the Lord. Check this out. Revelations 21, 9 through 10 says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to and said to me, come and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from the heaven of God. Now check out this description of the city and see if this sounds familiar. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. Now remember Lucifer earlier? I told you to remember that. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. God says, you know what? I'm going to take those same stones, and I'm going to put those in the home of my children. God said, Lucifer, you really blew it. You made it about yourself. But you know who's not going to blow it? My kids. My kids are not going to blow it. They're going to do it, and they're going to do it right. He has so much faith in us and so much love for us. So he made me from him. He made me to be with him. And then number three, he made me to express love to him. All he wants in return for all that he's done is your love. It's so, at the end of the day, it's so simple. It's so beautiful. Jesus said it himself, and this is the most shocking part of the entire message. So get ready for this. It's my favorite part. John 4:23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship. So I'm going to tell you what that word really means in here in just a moment. Will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. So the original manuscripts of the Bible were written in Greek. And so it has to be translated into the English language. And sometimes there are words that are very difficult to translate. So this word for worship in this scripture is proskuneo. When you hear the meaning of the word, it's going to be mind blown. Mine was. It's not going to be what you think. It's a verb, so it's an action. It's not just something, well, God knows my heart. No, it's a verb, it is an action word, and it's not what, it's shocking. So when you see it, you're probably going to gasp, and you're going to do the big eyes like the big emoji. Are you ready for what it means? The word is to kiss. God the Father are looking for those who just want to kiss him. Now listen, it's not the kiss of lovers. The Father is looking for those who will kiss him in a way that is like a dog licking its master. We have this dog. His name is Jedi Knight Walker, okay? It's funny because my last name is Walker, Jedi Knight Walker. And and when I come home, garage door opens, door to the house opens, and all of a sudden, just constant. And then all of a sudden, the running begins. And you hear the flight of the bumblebees. And then he goes to the couch. He is so excited that he doesn't even know how to contain his excitement because I'm there. That's the word. That is what God is looking for. Let me tell you this, I've heard. You can tell who loves you more, your dog or your spouse. You put them in the trunk of the car for an hour. You come back and see which one is happy to see you. Listen, of all the words that God could have chosen, this is what he wants. Have you ever come home from a trip and no one's there? And then have you ever come home from a trip and people are there and they're happy to see you? God is no different. He just wants to come home and just have you be excited. We just need to remember that he is a living God who wants our love, who wants our attention, who wants our adoration, who wants our heart. He wants, when we get into his presence, okay, let's hang out, let's cuddle. Hey, where are you gonna sit? Guess what? Just go ahead and sit down. I'll sit on your lap. That's what he wants. He wants the love that is so uncontainable that we don't even know what to do with ourselves. That's why the hands go up. That's why we do all of these things, because we don't know how to contain that love. So next week, Pastor Kyle's gonna come in and he's gonna show you exactly how to do it, and you'll be blown away by how practical, easy, and powerful it really is. So don't miss next week. It's gonna be amazing. So can we bow our heads this morning? God, we just want this church to be a worshiping church. A church that not just sings songs, but just is deeply in love with you. And so right now, I just pray that you would just draw people to yourself. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, some of you out there this morning are feeling like, man, I'm far from God, but there's something that's just drawing me. And for some of you, you've been that close, but for some reason you drew back and you've started to feel that dying. And so we're gonna pray because something is drawing you, and that's the Holy Spirit. So we're gonna pray a prayer where you can tell God, I'm ready to get close to you. I'm ready to move forward in a relationship that is all about you and I, and give you my whole heart. So again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm gonna pray. So right where you are, if this is you and you wanna be included in this prayer, at the count of three, I want you to lift up your hands. We're not gonna single you out. We're not gonna bring you forward. All this is saying is, hey, I wanna be included in this prayer. So no one looking around. If that's you, raise up your hand in 1, 2, 3. Amen. Amen. Hands all around this place. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray this together. Repeat after me. It doesn't have to be this exact words. But God, forgive me. I've loved others and things, but today I'm redirecting my love to you. Come live inside of me and be in relationship with me. Today I surrender all that I am and I give you my everything. Okay, now I'm gonna pray. Lord, thank you so much for every person that prayed that prayer. Lord, make that prayer have a deep, long-lasting impact on their lives and on their future. And God, turn us as a church into the most passionate lovers of you that exist. We want to fulfill our job description as worshipers because that's what you're looking for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning.